All right, Shape to Serve. Basically, this has been a lesson series we've been doing, focusing on two major things. First of all is allowing God to mold us and shape us, putting us on His potter's wheel, okay, and molding us and shape us to be used for His purpose. And that's really the key in all of this, is focusing on allowing God's purpose, His purpose, to work in our lives. Now, again, we have some folks who haven't been here for a little while, so you may not have gotten your little gift, your reminder for your household. If you haven't gotten one, then please see me afterwards, and I'll make sure you get one. I want you to put this in a visible place where everybody can see it in the house, and now use it as a daily reminder that what you're going to do today is to allow God to shape you for His purposes. All right? So that's what that's all about. We have some goals that we're trying to focus on for this year, and the primary thing is for us to become better and more useful servants to Christ Jesus, and to learn, and this is the difficult part, to learn to trust Him to direct our lives for His purpose. That's a tough thing to do sometimes, because we like to direct our lives for our purposes, don't we? And so this is all about allowing Him to be the one that is directing our lives. And that does require trust. We are trying to become God's hands, doing God's work with our hands, our feet, our mouths, our ears, all of us, to be able to be working for God and what He wants to accomplish. So this morning in this part of our lesson series, we're talking about the potter and the clay. In Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 1 and verse 2, God tells Jeremiah to go to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message. And so Jeremiah says, I went to the potter's house and saw him working at the wheel. When he got there, watching the potter working at the wheel, this is what he said. He was working at the wheel, and what he was working with of clay became spoiled. Some translations use the word ruined. Okay, marred, that's what marred means. Became ruined or spoiled in his hand, the hand of the potter, so he remade it into another vessel. But notice this, as it pleased the potter to make. What is that particular part all about? Well, for us today, think about it this way. The potter, who is God, first of all, He's the one who shapes us, the clay. Right? And sometimes that vessel becomes marred or ruined, as we said a moment ago, in His hands. It's not the fault of the hands, it's the problem with the clay. Right? The potter then, that is God, can reshape the clay. But He does that in a way that seems best to Him. You see, the idea is that sometimes the clay resists the hands of the potter. And so the vessel that he's trying to make becomes ruined. The message that God gave to Jeremiah was that he can take that pot and start all over again and reshape it into another pot. But he's going to make it into one as seems best to him. So he talks about, and we might call this a tale of two kingdoms here, okay? First of all, a kingdom to be uprooted. He goes on to say to Jeremiah, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as the potter does? Like clay in the hand of the potter, so you are in my hand. Now, I want you to think about this for a moment. In this story here, and what God is telling in this message of Jeremiah to the Israelite people, He's referring to nations here. Just think for just a moment. If God can do this with nations, whole nations of people, can He not do it with individual people? Okay. So the message applies just as equally well to every single one of us. Okay? That we are that clay in the hands of the potter. So let's talk about changed minds. Okay? Scene one, take one. And with God, it only takes one take. All right? Okay? But here is scene one. He says to Jeremiah, to the Israelite nation, if at any time I announce that a nation or a kingdom is to be uprooted, torn down, and destroyed. And if you look at those words, this picture, I think, best illustrates what he's trying to get them to understand. It's like taking a tree and not just cutting it down, but tearing that tree out by its roots. Or as some folks say, roots. Okay? But it is to be completely destroyed. Once that tree is taken out by its roots, it's not going to grow anymore. Okay? If you just cut it down, then guess what can happen? It can sprout again. I've got that happening in my yard. Last year I had some landscaping done, and I missed one stump that I ground up everything else, but there was one that was kind of covered up by it, and I missed it. And so now I have to keep going back and cutting because it keeps sprouting out new stuff, you see. So what God, the picture God wants is this right here. It's not going to re-sprout like that. It's completely destroyed. That tree is going to die because it's been torn up by the roots. And he says, if at any time I announce that, that's what's going to happen. And then he goes on to say this. And if that nation, and look at this, he says, I warned, if that nation I warned repents of its evil, then, okay, that's conditional. If then, if that nation I warned repents, then I will relent and not, he says, I will relent and not inflict on it the disaster I had planned. So in other words, God can change his mind. In planning to bring the disaster upon a nation that is evil, if that nation turns and repents, they will not be destroyed. But notice that he says he's warned. He's given the warning. And God gives us warnings today. That's the same way. Look at what he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. These things happened to them. He goes through, Paul is talking about all these destructions that had occurred to the Israelite people because of their disobedience. He says these things happened to them as examples for us. Who's the us he's talking about? We-ins. That's you and me-ins. Okay? Us-ins. All right? That's who's being warned, okay? They were written down to, look at this, warn us who live at the end of the age. So God is still giving warning to people. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 25, make sure that you do not reject the one who speaks. For if the people of Israel did not escape when they rejected Moses, who warned them on earth, even less will we if we turn away from him who, look at this, warns us from heaven. But God is still warning people to repent of their evil and to turn to him. And the message is one of hope. If you will repent, if you'll turn from that evil, you will not perish, but rather you will live. Why does God give those warnings? Okay? Because he doesn't want anyone to perish. God has promised, and God always keeps his promise, that those who repent and give their life to him will be saved, but those who do not will be lost. That is a promise. And so the writer of Hebrews here reminds us, God is not slow in keeping his promises. As some understand slowness. The people will say, well, where is this God? Where is this coming that he's talking about? Why hasn't he come yet? It's been so long. Well, the reason is because he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. And that's why he warns us, because he wants us to be with him. What a great and awesome God we have. Amen? Then there is that kingdom to be built up. This is changed mind scene two. Okay? he goes on to say to Jeremiah, "And if at another time I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be built up and planted." So here's a nation that is, you know, been doing what they're supposed to be doing, and I'm going to build that nation up. I'm going to plant them firm, their roots in the ground. That's the visual that he wants them to understand. I'm going to take care of them. That's what I have announced. "And if it does not, if it does rather evil in my sight and does not obey me, then I will reconsider the good I had intended to do for it." You see, God again can change his mind. Those who will not remain faithful to him, he will uproot and destroy. But there's that conditional word, then. If they disobey, then I will change my mind of what I had intended to do, the good that I had intended. So there's a warning. We need to recognize and understand, if you think that you got it all together, okay, you better be careful. The Apostle Paul warns us in 1 Corinthians, "So if you think that you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall." And that's a message to those who look at themselves and say, "Yep, I've arrived, I've got it all together. I'm a Christian, nothing else I have to do." Be careful. See, God warns us because he doesn't want us to perish. Be careful. Because if you ever get yourself to the point where you think you've got it all together, then you're in danger of falling. Romans chapter 12 and verse 3, he says, "Do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you." Don't be getting yourself all high and mighty, as the saying goes. You see? Thinking that because you go to church that everything's okay. Or because you do some good things here and there, you're okay. Don't think too highly of yourself. Because even those who have been doing, if they give up, if they stop, they can lose their salvation. And that's why in Revelation chapter 2, the Lord Jesus says this, "Be faithful," and notice this, "how long? Until death. And I will give you the crown of life." See, it's not just a one-time thing. It's not just a one day. I did all these things. I went through, jumped through the hoops. I counted, crossed all the T's and dotted all the I's. I did all the things I was supposed to do, and now I got it all together. I can go on with my life. You see what that sounds like? It's all about me. And if we're truly going to live our lives for God's purpose, then it is continuing to put ourselves on His will and allowing Him to shape us into what He wants us to be. And it's realizing that we've got to put ourselves into His hands. And so, this morning, here's the challenge for you in thinking about it. Will you let God, who is the potter, reshape you for His purpose in your life? That's the message that God gave through Jeremiah to the Israelite people as a nation. It's a message He gives to us today, as a church and as individuals within that church. Make sure that we understand God wants us to accomplish His purpose in His life. But we've got to allow Him to do so. Because if we resist Him, then we become marred. We become ruined. Now, He can reshape us if we allow Him to. But remember last week we talked about the potsherds? You become broken, you become useless to Him. So Wes has a song for us that we're going to sing for an invitation this morning. And while we're singing that song, I want you to just try to visualize yourself. What kind of tree would you be? One that is being planted and built up because you've been living in obedience to God, or one that is being torn down and uprooted because of disobedience? Which tree would best describe you this morning? Notice and recognize that God can take a tree that's not been doing what it's supposed to be doing, and He can build that plant up, replant. He can take the one that thinks that he's got it all together and is refusing to obey God, and he can tear it down. Which tree are you this morning? If you're a tree that is not in obedience to God, a pot that is resisting his shaping, I urge you to repent of that this morning so that God can take you and use you and make you into something for his purpose this morning. But God will not force you. You have to choose. The Lord's invitation is open to everyone. If maybe some of those things describe you and you need some help, some encouragement, some prayer, some guidance, some Bible study, whatever it is to help you to allow God to use you for His purpose. That's what we want to do this morning. Dale will be in the back to receive anyone if you'd like to have a private prayer or conversation with him, and I'll be right up front to receive you if you want to come up here. We want to help you to be the kind of vessel that God wants you to be for His purpose. If we can do anything to help you with that, just let us know. If you desire to be baptized into Christ today, if you're not a Christian and you're ready to give your life to Him, then you can do that right now this morning. We've got water ready, don't we, Chuck? I saw you checking it a little while ago. We've got water ready. It's hot, warm at least, right? It's nice. Okay. It's nice. You don't have to wait for any special occasion. If you're ready to give your life to Christ and become His child, then call upon Jesus as your Lord. Repent of the sin that is separating you from Him. Have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. You can do that right now. All you got to do is come up and let me know. Let's stand together and sing. Wes? Well,